Game Cola faithful, and welcome to the Game Cola podcast. This is podcast number 197. Get your podcast enjoying engines revving. I am your host and podcast commander, Joseph Martin, joined by...
Hi, I'm Anna Bernarski, and I'm contractually obligated to be on one podcast every year, and this is it.
I'm Blue Rider, and I'm on more than that, and I miss her on all the ones she's not on.
I'm John Rizzi, and I should really take a closer look and edit her Anna's contract.
You can read?
Sometimes. Only when it's necessary.
Anna's contract has been grandparented in.
I've changed what? It myself.
From the before times.
With a red pen, I went in and said one per year. It originally said zero per year. I don't have to do this.
You're getting it out of this was your New Year's revolution. New Year's revolution.
This is my revolution. I'm taking over the podcast.
And in a way, isn't it truly a New Year's revolution because we've gone around the sun one time?
So true.
It is 2026. No longer a nice number. It's not the worst number it could be, but it's just even, and that's it. There's not much else to it. You got 25, that's like divisible by 5, like a quarter of the year. I guess we have now completed a quarter, though I don't know. I guess it depends on when you start.
Quarter century, yeah. I'd say we're
closer to 2050 than 2000. So
you'll be joining
we'll
me
just take that in
a new decade. This year.
Yes, don't make me think about it. Don't make me think about it, Anna. I don't want to think about it.
30 is better, I promise.
A fun fact, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is now set in the past, officially.
Oh, no. So is Back to the Future Part 2. But it's been like that for 10 years.
That's been like that for 10 years.
Mega Man had its time in 2009 when they changed it in... I think Mega Man 5, they went from 2000X to 20XX.
Oh my god.
So the people will say like, oh, well, so the first four Mega Man games take place from 2000 to 2009. It's like, no, I think they retroactively made it so that it was always 20XX after the people who started in, they got from the 80s to the 90s were like, I don't think we're going to have robots. By 2009, guys.
I think
there's a Godzilla game on NES or something that says the year is 1990X. It's like, what? Yeah. Why are you going to narrow it down to the decade if you're just not going to give a full year anyway?
Just like Earthbound 1990X.
We're in the future, and as we look we turn our attention to the future, because there's so much stuff in the future for us to behold. And B, it's January, so no media happens because you can't make advertising money off of it. And everybody spent all of their money in November and December, assumedly. So you gotta talk about stuff that's happening in the future. So ahead of this podcast, I did the unthinkable and asked the participants to think about some things that they might want to say on the podcast, namely... what they might be looking forward to in this future year of 2026. Who would like to go first?
And none of them did it except for me.
As per usual, we did not.
I heard you guys talking about it, but when I got on.
Yeah, because I had to inform them that you even asked a question.
I knew that. I already knew. Okay. I have to pull up my wish list.
How dare you imply that Anna did not intentionally... refused to think of a topic ahead of time. And
John was trying to get
accident.
Us to
blue. Joe is only defending Anna. He's not defending me.
That's because you were the one trying to get us to talk about what we were happiest about from this year, which is like the opposite.
We can talk about that next.
No, Incorrect.
But this is the hook. This is the hook for the people whose New Year's resolution is to start listening to the Game Cola podcast. They want to know about the future. They want to know about the hype. They want to know about what to expect. You are the only one who did your homework.
What the heck? Did you not listen to me? I have to know.
No, it's been a while. You've forgotten about the dynamic where you say things that are perfectly reasonable and I pretend like you didn't say them. Blue.
Because she's only on one per year, so she forgets what it's like.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's why it's...
This is why I'm only here once a year.
Anna, would you like to go first?
No, Blue can go ahead.
Wait a minute.
What? No, you. It's because you said you said Blue was the only one who did their homework, and I did my homework. I don't understand why you have to come after me like this. Sorry, Blue. Please continue.
I'm excited for Marvel Token. I hope that's good. I'm also excited for other two fighting games, which is the Avatar fighting game and Invincible Versus. And there's also Wolverine, that's probably gonna be pretty good. And then there's a new Danganronpa, and I don't know.
Have they gotten to the point where they stopped numbering them?
No, it's Danganronpa 2x2.
They numbered it twice.
That's right. I think I remember that.
Oh. You're double wrong on that. There's Marvel.
Why is it 2x2 and not 2+2?
Because then that would be 4.
They're both 4.
But it's not the fourth game, technically.
But they still add up to the same number.
Because it's the second version of the second game. It's the second game the second time. I hope that clears
it up. They didn't want to write a new story or a full sequel, so they decided just to give us Danganronpa 2 again, but different.
Is this also like the Hunter x Hunter situation, where it's not even 2x2, it's just like 2x2?
That one's this one makes perfect sense.
In Japanese media, for some reason, X, when you have X's in the title like that, it just means a space. And I don't know why, but that seems to be how that works.
I see. So it is.
It's just Hunter Hunter.
Or Spy Family.
But no, this is the second Danganronpa game again. And also, it has new stuff. No one's sure what that means exactly.
And you're excited to find out?
Yeah, because the way they have explained it is that it's sort of like a completely new story just in the same setting. So it'll be like the same length as the main game was, which is a lot. That's an entire game. So, and after a V3 where we don't know what's going on, really. And there was supposed to be more, and it just kind of never happened. This might point us to where the future is going, or it might just be a waste of time. Who knows? Hard to say.
So, like, of all of those things, what is the thing you're most excited for? Or maybe it's a thing you haven't mentioned yet.
Hopefully, I mean, the Avatar fighting game looks really, really, really good. I did not get into any of the betas for any of the fighting games I mentioned, which made me very sad because I wanted to be in all of them. I hope Tokon is good. That would be nice. But also, I'm hoping Danganronpa gives us something because they left us on... Not a cliffhanger, exactly. What is a cliffhanger, but, like, just not immediate, but confusing?
Right. I was going to say, knowing what I know of this series, they didn't leave you on a cliffhanger. They just ended the story, and nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah. V3 was really cool, and I think it's very divisive. And I think that's because...
Why they're multiplying in the next one.
Yeah, exactly, definitely. That I hate that that is a good joke. I'm upset.
You're welcome.
But I think a lot of people did not reconcile with the fact that that was not supposed to be the last game. And so it ended on a note that when it is the last game is kind of leaves a bad taste in the mouth. But I'm hoping that there was a plan and we will eventually see it.
I see. Anna.
Hi. So I am looking forward to a cute little game that looks kind of just like another farming sim, but I like those, called the Abyss Garden,
where it looks like you're... Can you... The Abyss, like the Abyss, Abyss Garden, or
like
is it
Abbey, like where the nuns live?
The Abbey's garden,
basically. Yeah, it looks like you're repairing a Abbey garden, a forbidden mm-hmm. Abbey garden.
Ooh, forbidden.
That's one I'm looking forward to. That's coming out in March. Paralives got moved back to May of 2026. I'm excited to try that out. Witchbrook, which has been in development for a while.
Wait, Witchbrook?
Witchbrook has been in development for a while from the same publisher of Stardew Valley. It looks like a immersive life sim where you're in a witchy town, and that seems right up my alley. There's a game called Thrifty Business. I don't really know what it is yet, but I like the look of it.
Is it one of those, like, you own a store, like, store management RPG, but, like, then you go out and do an RPG to collect materials for your store?
No, I think it's just, like, a more of a puzzle-y type game.
Okay.
Maybe not even. It says similar to games you've played in one of the games of Stardew Valley, so I don't know. Anyway... Those are the two that I'm looking forward to. I don't have a whole lot that I'm excited for. The new update for Animal Crossing comes out in a few weeks, I believe. Maybe about a week and a few days. So I'm excited for that. Otherwise, I technically have a Switch 2, but it's Cam's, not mine. But obviously I can play it, but
yeah. Have you played it?
I played a little bit of Mario Kart with him, but that's it.
Okay. We can talk about that in games we've been playing in recent times,
I guess. But that's everything that I'm looking forward to, aside from a hope of getting some new content. Maybe Winnie the Pooh finally coming to Dreamlight Valley, because where is he, Disney? Disney,
that's the whole reason you bought the game.
No, it's not, but where is he? Anyway. That's my report. Please grade it well.
Mm-hmm. Everybody clap.
Please Anna, clap you can
go
for
back
me.
To your seat. Woo, Anna! You can go back to your seat.
Let's go.
all right. Well, John, it looks like we do have enough time for your presentation. I was worried we were going to have to end class before you could go, but I think we could squeeze it in. So if you just come up to the front and you got your PowerPoint?
Not me getting high school flashbacks.
Oh no.
Did you email your PowerPoint to me or did you put it on a flash drive?
I have it right here, thanks.
Why do you sound like that? Are you sick? No, if you're sick, you should have stayed home.
No, I'm in high school. Okay.
But I heard you talking before this. You didn't suddenly become in high school after the bit started. Anyway,
emergency.
You're talking normal again, so I guess you were just doing a weird bit. All right, okay, I'm gonna.
Yes, have you met me?
All right,
okay.
Because if you look in the rubric here, it specifically said no bits.
Oh,
no bits,
no.
John. So that's gonna be a -5. But you know, continue.
I was about to ask if bits got extra credit, but dang.
Not in high school.
No, not in
not
high
in high
school,
school Anna.
Absolutely.
Anna, when did you ever get bonus points for doing a bit in high school? I want to know about this.
Actually, we did a series. Everyone had to do a presentation on the greatest Canadian, and we had to tournament style brackets.
You have to figure out who it is. There's a correct answer.
No, we had to choose one and research them and give a presentation, and then like tournament style brackets. People would vote on who did the best one, and I won. So,
nice.
Yeah,
but was it a bit?
The teacher thought it was a bit because the person I picked was so cool. He was like, "I have to ask, did you just make them up?" So it's been adjacent.
Okay. All right, John.
Finally, I could talk. Okay. So this year, I'm actually, as for game, it's weird how, because a lot of games coming out this year, like, we're in this state now where, like, games don't get, like, a lot of release dates, like, well in advance anymore. It's like maybe like only a handful have release dates, like GTA 6 and Phantom Blade. Those are coming out like in November, September, supposedly. But as for the ones that are immediately coming out, I'm really looking forward to Resident Evil Requiem because it's literally going to be like half of Resident Evil 7 and then half Resident Evil 4 with combat, and then just the atmosphere. Air looks impeccable, and Capcom has not missed yet with their nine of recent Resident Evil games, so yeah, looking forward to that. Fatal Frame 2 looks kind of cool, but I haven't seen too much from that. But I think the one I am looking forward to the most, though, is 007, the new James Bond game from IO Interactive, because the Hitman games are great, they're very in depth, and this just looks like that, but with more fluid movement and more things you can do, and more and just James Bond stuff, and I love James Bond stuff. And when was the last time we had like an actual James Bond video game? It was like 007 Legend. No, it was like 007 Legends on like PS3, 360, and Wii U.
I bet there's a mobile game somewhere.
Probably.
Well, I'm sure. Probably, but who counts those?
Let me do some research.
the hacker screen comes down. Wait a minute. There's no record of James Bond games anywhere.
What?
It's a conspiracy.
I know that's the wrong mainframe you're hacking into. As for games that don't have solid release dates, Blue, I'm shocked you didn't mention Marvel 1943, because that's supposedly coming out this...
Did
you?
I tried to.
Oh.
I don't remember you saying it, but you may have.
You mentioned Tokon. I know that.
Yeah, I tried to. I might have interrupted Anno, she was speaking or something, to say it, so it probably got lost. Yeah. Oops. Sorry. But yeah, that was on my list.
Yeah. I'm excited for that only because of the director behind it.
The problem is that with all the other games that got, like, Black Panther got canceled, Wonder Woman got canceled, and that one always seemed weird, and it's by a new studio. I'm like part convinced that it'll just kind of slowly or silently get canceled, basically. But I think I saw like a small leak, and it looked like there was development happening, so
I'm sure development's happening, especially if they haven't announced the cancellation yet. They're trying to get something off the ground. He's ready for presentations. Yeah. I'm kind of in that boat with the Prince of Persia remake, though, because we haven't heard anything about that in so long, and that's supposedly coming out this year. But yeah, that's pretty much it for actual video games. But there are a lot of...
What about not actual video games?
I was going to say, there are a good amount of video game movies coming out this year. Mm-hmm. And
like what?
We talked about Mario Galaxy already, so we're going to... Can't wait to see Rosalina Girl Boss her way to out Girl Boss Peach. Right, Joe?
Yeah, I can't remember. Were you on the Girl Boss episode?
I was, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, as for video game movies coming out, I am super excited for the Street Fighter movie. I'm not sure if you guys saw the trailer during the Game Awards or after the Game Awards, but it looks
pretty bad.
No, it looks goofy. And that's what I want. Because every Street Fighter project that's taking itself super seriously has been terrible. This looks like it's being goofy, but like they want to have fun with it, and then that's exactly what I want from a Street Fighter movie. The designs look, the colors look beautiful, the cinematography looks really fun, and the character designs are there, they're true to the games, they all look ridiculous, and they all look committed, and that's what I really want from it. So why do you think it looks bad, Blue? Come on. Let's fight on the podcast. Let's go.
I mean, a lot of the characters seem pretty miscast, to be honest. But, you know, that's... I'm willing to be wrong. You're the film guy. And so, like, I'll see.
Well, wait. Who's Chris Pratt playing?
Nobody.
That's a great question.
But but Jason Momoa is playing Blanca. Let that sink in.
I hope he gets to electrocute.
I have no context to comment on that in any way. He's the
green ogre.
I know who he is. I'm just like, I only know the surface level details.
He electrocutes people.
So can I. What's the
I
point?
Mean, like, I don't, there's no actor that I know of that I would be like, I don't think I could believe that that person could electrocute people with superpowers. Right? Like, there's no one is like, no, you can't electrocute anybody. What are you talking about?
I just think it's good casting because it's like, Jason Momoa was like a fun actor and he's playing like probably the goofiest character that they could have put in the
Minecraft movie.
So it's like he's one of those actors that's always committed to the bit. Mm-hmm. And I want to see
him. And there you get extra points for it. Yell at the camera. Minus five.
Shoot electricity at the camera. I don't know.
It's pretty close range electricity. You have to like be touching him.
But there is.
Oh, I can do that. Especially in the winter. Just like you take the feet, you rub them on the floor. I don't know if you can hear that.
Nope.
Oh, wow. But I was rubbing my feet on the carpet, maybe my microphone, and then you touch the person and zap, and you say, ha-ha, I'm Jason Momoa.
ha-ha, I gotcha.
That's gonna live with me for a long time.
There's also a movie coming out based on the indie horror game, The Mortuary Assistant.
Oh, that was not the one I thought about. I was thinking The Night Shift, but that already came out.
Yeah, that one did come out. But yeah.
Iron Lung's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that's happening. Yeah. Wow.
I don't sound too excited.
Yeah, no. I'm not. <It's>, no, honestly.
It's a good game.
Because I'm more excited for The Mortuary Assistant. I'm not sure if I mentioned this game on the podcast before. But it is probably one of the scariest horror games I've played in a long time. I mean, I play with my friends all the time. And every time I play it, I still get, like, jump scared by something new or anything like that.
It's like you're, like, in a morgue. But, like, the people you're doing the morgue stuff to are ghosts. Or there's ghosts around while you're doing it.
It's scary. Regular dead people, but one in like every few has a chance of being possessed by a demon.
Yeah, you have to figure out which body you're working on is possessed.
Okay.
Based on all the jump scares and everything that's happening.
And then sometimes you look up and they're just on the cabinet or whatever. And it's like, that's not where demons are supposed to be. You're supposed to be hiding in the body.
It's in their contract.
Iron Lung was good, too.
Also, Joe's most anticipated movie, Angry Birds Movie 3, is coming out this year.
How did this and get on? Mr. Beast How did this get on my conscience?
This is your fault.
Have I even ever talked about an Angry Birds movie? I haven't seen the first two Angry Birds movies.
That's why it's hilarious to me to think that you are going to be gushing over Angry Birds Movie 3 when
like
it comes out.
Just like how John is always going on about Hitmonlee.
I've only seen the first two Angry Bird movies through YouTube clips.
That's
yeah, so,
I have a very rough
yeah,
idea
so
of what
it's
happened.
Clearly in your YouTube algorithm, and therefore you're the Angry Birds movie
That's why they
biggest
made it.
Fan.
Like, if that one more, if we had not gotten that one extra view on Angry Birds Movie 2, Part 6 of 7, then we wouldn't have decided to make the third one. But because of the one 100th of a cent from that view, we decided we have the budget for it.
You are
it's all your
determining
fault.
Factor.
It's all your fault, Joe.
I did not even know that. Is there a trailer or is it just an announcement?
I believe there may be a teaser. Hang on. Let's see here.
Well, I mean, it's a podcast, so it doesn't really matter either way.
I know, but it'll be funny to have you watch this on the podcast. Yep.
I'm not going to watch it on the podcast.
Do it.
It is not conducive to my current setup.
Do it. Do it.
I know.
Right
like,
now.
I can't.
Here's the link.
Like, there's no physical way. I'm not in my normal
it's 30 seconds.
Space.
Do
and
it.
Even if I was, I wouldn't really be able to do it anyway.
It's in your contract. Trying to put it there.
In a red Angry Birds pen.
What I am excited for next year.
Besides Angry Birds Movie 3.
And Mario Galaxy movie. John already said it, but that's probably one of the main things I'm focused on in the immediate. obviously, we got a new Mega Man Legacy Collection coming out. I still have to finish the Battle Network. I fell off on Battle Network 4, and I just need to motivate myself to get back on that. Everybody, I listened back to older podcasts where people said that they actually liked 4 was one of their more favorite ones. So maybe I'm just not to the part where it gets good. But I gotta take another swing at it. But I'm also looking forward to what you may expect me to be thinking about in recent times, if you've been paying attention, is the inevitable next trailer for Mega Man 12. That even though it's coming out in 2027, we are almost certainly going to get another trailer in 2026 sometime. And so that is probably what I am most excited for in 2026 so far.
A collection of old games and a trailer.
And a movie.
Fair enough.
And a movie. We'll probably also get a Sonic 4 trailer, yeah. I bet.
Yeah, most likely.
Even though I'm guessing they're going to wait till 20. Did they say specifically 2027? Or
For Sonic 4?
Yeah.
I don't think they did, actually. Hang on.
Oh, it could be. So you think it could be like late 2026?
Google officially says 2027, so we must have said it somewhere.
Okay. So, but I bet we'll get a trailer for it. Those are the main things. I mean, the part of it too is that like February and early March is also when we get kind of like that's when we get a bunch of announcements. So like, right, we're carrying over stuff that was announced 2024 side into, 2025 side into 2026. As opposed to stuff announced in 2026 about 2026. We'll get a boost of stuff to talk about in February, I bet. Maybe not in time for the February podcast.
We are days into the new year.
I'm looking forward to GTA 6 getting delayed again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just saw something that said Elder Scrolls 6 is going to maybe come out in 2029.
If that's what your number, that means that there's probably at least a year of variance on that number. Yeah. Also,
it's like, dang, am I gonna get this game
at that point? Just don't even say anything.
Yeah,
I guess it's like, look, just don't ask us about it for 3 years.
Don't ask us any questions, please. Go play Oblivion Remastered.
Joe, are you looking forward to Pragmata? It's a Capcom game with human robots, too, so you must like that.
It's also a Mega Man game. I don't have any ill will toward the person who made, I don't even remember who it was, but I did watch it, the person who made the, hey, what if Pragmata is like a secret Mega Man game? But I think that the legs on the idea have maybe outpaced the evidence behind it. Especially because they did actually announce Mega Man 12. It's a stretch. It's a real stretch.
Yeah, it's a real stretch.
And there was, when I watched it, I did not look at it and think, I want to play this video game, to be honest. Not that I thought it looked bad, but like, okay, this is the thing too. Did you try the demo? Like, it is a worthwhile question to say, hey, look, if you take the Mega Man canon as a whole, what are the unifying elements of that canon, right? Like, what is, right? Because they're different. They're all different genres, for one thing, right? Mm-hmm. And there are common, like, there's usually a character named Mega Man, right?
Yes.
And let's check that one off the list. They generally look, they're blue colored, but also they're not. Mega Man's not always the main character because you have the Zero games, and they're not called they're called Mega Man Zero. So it's Mega Man is still in the title. I don't even know if Mega Man is in 04 in any way. So that's something to think about. He
better be.
So like, how would, like, what elements do you need? And I just didn't feel like. There's definitely something, I can't quantify it, but it just didn't feel like it had that. I don't know if maybe you could say, like, you know, there are definitely games that started out as, oh, this is going to be a game in this franchise, and then it turned out, moved to something else, right? Like, I believe it's at least been reported. I think it's true. I feel like I would have confronted this if it was not true. But Kid Icarus Uprising, I think, started its life as a Star Fox game.
Oh, yeah. And then Capcom's had, I think, has the most famous example of this, where Devil May Cry was Resident Evil 4 originally, and so was their game Haunting Ground, which started as yet another build of Resident Evil 4.
Right, but it's just, there's a guy, and then there is a robot girl. And that's kind of it, isn't it?
But she's wearing blue.
That's so true.
Yeah,
but Roll wears red.
Okay.
Okay, well, it's not red, it's Mega Girl.
Yeah, what the heck?
But then there should be a character wearing red for the, like, if you're going to do, like, if you're going to swap some elephants, you have to, did I say elephants?
You yes. sure did.
If you're going to swap some elephants, you got to do it very carefully.
You don't want to address the elephant in the room that you don't think Mega Man could be a girl.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that. Mega Man was a girl in ZX Advent, one of the main characters that you could play. No, and in just regular ZX.
I can't believe you hate girl Mega Man.
I can't believe you hate elephants.
And women. And women elephants.
And women elephants.
Oh, no, don't get him started.
No. But you have to, if you're going to do a swap, you have to swap, right? Like, if there's a blue character and a red character, and then you make the analog for the blue character, or the analog for the red character, the blue character, then you have to make the analog for the blue character, the red character.
No.
Obviously. It makes perfect sense.
No.
No. It doesn't matter.
Well, then who is Mr. Pragmata supposed to be?
Wily?
Dr. Light.
Yeah, one of them.
But, again, like, how many things can you change before it's just... Again, like, no more similar to a Mega Man game than any other game that features a robot.
I think robot we can humans, all agree and it's made by Capcom. Every robot is Mega Man.
Every robot is Mega Man.
Every robot.
It's hard to argue with that.
Every That's robot made point. By Capcom is Mega Man.
No, every single one, just all of them. I don't think I stuttered on that.
Okay, so this is what we've been looking. This is what we're looking forward to, but. It's not time, I would say, for us to say what our favorite games of 2025 were, because that's what the mid-year awards are for, right? In the middle of 2026, we will say what our favorite 2025 games are, because we'll have had time to play more 2025 games than we have played now. But I want to know, what are your most memorable moments from 2025 in video games? Obviously, for me, it's... Mega Man 12 being announced. It's recent, but I think it is fair for me to say that that is the biggest gaming thing for me. I think another thing, obviously, Switch 2 coming out. It came out at the very beginning of the year. I was looking back through the podcast episodes, and the episode that went up at the beginning of the year was like us talking about the Switch 2. And then the next, like, oh, it's coming out. Final call for your theories. And then the next podcast was, oh, the Switch 2 came out. So it's been kind of the year of the Switch 2 in that sense. Other big thing is three big racing games coming out. Three big yes. Major IP character racing video games all came out.
And I have yet to play any of them, but I do love me a good racing game. So I can't wait to play it. Honestly, I'm looking forward to playing Sonic Cross Worlds the most.
Yeah, Mario Kart World, Sonic Cross Worlds, and Kirby Air Riders with an S.
Cam has had a great time playing Air Riders. He loves Kirby. It was the biggest reason for him getting a Switch this year. And then my friend Benny is loving Cross Worlds as well. Mario yeah. Kart. So it seems just like Mario we're... Kart.
Wait, there. What did you say about Mario Kart?
It's there. It's not bad.
It fills the need.
It's not there. It's just Mario Kart.
Have Mario Kart 8. Like, people will probably just keep playing Mario Kart 8.
Yep.
That's the problem. They made the perfect Mario Kart game. Not the perfect racing game, but the perfect Mario Kart game. The perfect form for that style of Mario Kart game. And now they're basically starting over with a new genre of racing game. And I think it's safe to say that they didn't quite land it. They keep updating. There's like a war of updates going on where like the people didn't want to play the in between on the in between tracks in the Grand Prix.
Yeah, I heard
and
about
then they
that.
Found a way to make it so that they wouldn't have to do it, and then they did an Nintendo did an update that says, actually no, you have to do the in between tracks. And then later everyone was mad about it, and so then they did another update where like, okay, you can skip doing the in between tracks, and we actually changed, or I don't know if they did that, they changed the in between tracks to be more interesting. So instead of straight lines, it's like, ooh, it curves around a little bit. Actually, I don't actually remember if they made it so that you can skip them. I know that they've done various updates that have made some pretty significant changes back and forth on certain things.
I couldn't tell you because I played it once.
Mm. That's more than zero times.
That is
so
more
you
than
have
zero
some
times.
Information that you can impart onto us.
I played Mario Kart once. I played as a cow. And it was great.
I can't wait to main a Goomba. Yeah, that's right. I'm a Goomba main. Come at me.
All right. What were your most memorable moments of 2025 in video games?
So some of mine were the release of Tiny Bookshop, which is just a cute little game where you sell books to people. And it has like lists of actual books that are in the real world, as well as some that are not real. But the release of the latest Dreamlight Valley expansion, which included Tigger, which was so fun. Uh-huh. I did finish it.
But also
it.
Makes the poo absence that much more
so,
confusing.
Spoiler if anyone cares, but at the very end of the expansion, because it was pretty easy to finish, you get a shot of a balloon kind of just flying off somewhere, and then it pops, and then it's Pooh's voice going, oh bother. And I went, what does that mean?
Winnie the Pooh will return.
They did an Avengers teaser for Winnie the Pooh.
They did.
Uses balloon pop.
It's because everyone's waiting. There were some updates for Fields of Mystria that came out, expanding the game a bit more, and hopefully the final game will be coming out, or the finished game will be coming out in August, hopefully. I don't know. Manor Lords got a huge overhaul, just changing a lot of things about it. Oblivion Remastered came out, which replaced the janky looking 2006
and now it's a janky looking 2025
people, which it's Uncanny Valley, and also some of the voices got changed to more recent voice actors, which I didn't like because I loved having the same five or six people saying the same things over and over again.
Yeah, now they have eight people.
Now they have eight, and it's like, ugh. Inzoi came out, which is one of the sim games that are coming out to rival the actual Sims franchise. I did not like it, personally. I'm used to Sims 4 now, so I can't play anything else, apparently. The Root Trees Are Dead came
yes.
out. And it was a game I didn't think I would play myself because I'm not smart enough for video games, like,
yes,
ever.
You are.
But it's a fun puzzle game about just like searching for information about a family, like full family tree. It's so good. But it was a game I didn't think I was gonna like a lot. And then the last thing that happened, this has nothing to do with 2025 or games coming out in 25. This is completely personal. But I watched through playthroughs of all of the Yakuza games. Not the newer ones, like the Like a Dragon ones that have come out, but all the Yakuza games. Because a very dear friend of mine really likes them, and I finally got curious enough to actually not play them myself, but watch them, because it would be expensive if I tried to buy all of them myself, and Cam only has a few of them that we share our library for, so I can start with one. But, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on this year, or this past year, and it's been a good time. That's all. I had fun.
It's really been the year of indie games, I feel like. Mm-hmm. 2025.
I also...
I've said this a couple times.
I wanted to mention, I also have been playing a lot more cozy games. Like, there are, like, some, I don't want to call them unpacking clones, but they kind of are, But like stuff like that, and like there's something kind of like a sticker book, and there's one that's kind of like a dollhouse, and they're like small cute games, and those are perfect for like my brain when I am depressed and I'm like, yes, please, I need to not think.
Have you tried Wanderstop yet?
No, it's on my list though.
It was good. It was definitely, it didn't fix me and make me like cozy games, but for people who do like them, I bet they will enjoy it.
I watched Secret Sleepover Society play it, and it made me want to actually play it.
I forgot. I'm behind on them.
You should you should watch them more. It's fun.
I'm watching them go through Split Fiction right now.
Ooh. I've just been watching them sporadically.
I was
Blue or John, do you have any other moments from 2025?
Yes.
That are memorable?
Yeah, I remember when Blueprints was released, they gave it out for free on PlayStation Plus. And
I forgot they did that.
Yeah, so that's how I first played it. And I remember I watched, for my video game news, I watched the channel Spawnwave, if you guys are familiar with that guy. But he's really cool. He does like news videos like every day. But he mentioned it. It's like, hey, this game Blueprints is part of PlayStation Plus, and it's currently like really highly rated, and it's a puzzle game. And I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, I need a new puzzle game, because I was fresh off the heels of playing Root Trees Are Dead, and which I loved. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I want to test my brain a little more. So I downloaded that night, and I was up until maybe 2 a.m. playing it for the first time without like going online for like any clues or anything, and it was a visceral experience playing that for the first time and just figuring out the mechanics and everything. So yeah,
it
so
it really feels like you're in a house.
It feels like you're a Blueprints. but yeah, so I've like everyone else who played that game, I fell in love with it. And cut
to... Except James.
Yeah.
Except cut to... James.
James, I need a talking to. but cut to later this year, when I land a new job working at GameStop, and I see we have a physical copy coming in. Nobody's pre-ordered it. I was tempted to, but I just barely missed the window on it. Aww. And I was hoping, like, oh man, is my store even going to get copies? Because I know it's going to be like a small like physical release. Lo and behold, we got only one copy into the store.
Wow!
And I got it. Yeah, it was very nice, and I don't know. I was just really happy I managed to get that game that everyone loved and that I loved, and yeah, it was very
Blueprints
fun.
Definitely in the running for game of the year, because more than two different people on Game Cola have played it.
Yeah. I haven't personally.
It is also, but... does also seem like a good video game, but it's that seems to be the trend here of how this works.
The more important part of whether a game gets game of the year or not for Game Cola is, did everyone play it? Did one person play it? Did at least three people play it?
I will also say I am going to finish Expedition 33 before our Game of the Year awards go up, so I'll be able to fight Blue about it when July comes.
Yeah, we could. I mean, it feels like we could have a regular debate cast about that at this point. It is actually something. The problem with the debate cast is that we don't really have much that we disagree on these days. We're all peace and harmony.
Yep.
And really, the main thing that people disagree on is whether or not I'm funny.
I spend at least half of a podcast just fighting everybody. But mostly Joe.
About anything.
Especially the Pokemon things I said last time. I don't remember.
I don't even remember. But now I'm curious. I gotta go find the last episode.
It was something where I was just like, yeah, it's just kind of there. Or something. I don't remember.
That low-key reminds me. I have another funny story to tell regarding the new Pokemon game. So, like I said, I work at GameStop, and we brought Midnight Launches back for when Pokemon Legends ZA came out. And so we had a whole launch. We had a whole thing, blah, blah, blah. It was really fun. I was talking to a guy in line. He said he was really excited for this game. He, like, can't wait to play it, but like, you know, typical fan stuff. He got a copy, and then he came back the next day, where I saw him again, where he was, where he came in to trade in the game. And he said, and I quote, "Shit sucks, bruh."
Oh, no.
No other explanation. That is all he said. I'm like, okay, you open it, so he can't give you a refund, but I could do it as trade-in. He's like, that's fine.
Oh, I hate GameStop. I'm sorry.
Ugh.
Don't let them hear this podcast, John.
I know they're listening.
They're going to ban me from the stores.
They don't read their own Reddit thread. It's fine.
Oh, that's good.
That's probably for the best.
You know what? That
right,
is...
This is... No, I would say it reminds me of, like, when they fixed the Sonic design for the movie, and people were like, yeah, this shows that you should listen to us on Twitter. And it's like, no, you were accidentally right. Like, what? I'm not saying do the opposite of what Twitter says, but what Twitter says should have no influence on your decisions.
No.
This was definitely a case of everybody knew, there were a lot of people who knew this was a bad idea, but could only get it past, like, some key, they could only convince some key decision maker once the actual backlash to it occurred.
Yeah.
And then they could say, look, we were right, because I feel like they had a new design ready to go pretty quickly.
They did.
Yeah.
Which makes me think they maybe did. They were working on it.
They went, what if we just, and everyone went, no!
Blue, did you share a 2025 gaming memory yet?
I remember picking up this game that everyone wouldn't stop talking about, and it going, oh, that's it? I was expecting more.
Man, I wish I knew what video game we were talking about.
No idea.
It was a good game, but...
All right. Blue hates Blueprints.
Yeah. I can't believe you didn't like Blueprints, Blue.
It really seems like something
I don't think anyone has ever looked at Blueprints and been like, oh, this is all that there is? Because that's just... like the opposite of it's everything. That's... I remember playing Dispatch for the first time and... doing the job where you help superheroes, and at the stat screen at the end, I got, you were in the 100th percentile of all the people who clocked in for the shift, and that means usually 99th percentile is where it gets capped in real world use, because 100th percentile is supposed to be like theoretically infinite or whatever, so I got to walk away knowing that in another world where superheroes exist, I'm living my best life and crushing it at my day job.
What does this mean? Because I thought the percentages were like how many people went down this story route.
Because the gameplay part is like actually like a in-depth like bit of gameplay, and you get calls and you can send people to different emergencies depending on like their stats and their personality and stuff. And you can make very bad choices. And, you know, like if you're sending your fire guy to a house that is on fire, he's probably not going to do a great job. And so if you fail calls, or if you like, don't answer them in time or whatever, because you have to manage your hero's like stress levels and stuff, you can do like really bad. But I did the best.
And that isn't that what's most important in video games?
I mean, for that specifically, to be the best in a world of superheroes, like, yeah, I knew this since I was 5. I was born for this. This world isn't good enough for me.
I was born for this video game.
I can't tell you why it tickles me so much, but it does. It makes me very happy. The other thing would be Marvel Rivals. They added Gambit this season, and it was the most fun since the game started. Because, like, after the first couple months when, like, the magic wears off, sort of have less fun, but they, like, added a fun new character for the role that was, like, lagging behind, and they reworked or, like, gave buffs to, like, a bunch of characters and gave them more utility and stuff, and it was just, like, about as fun as it was at launch. The magic was back, and that was fun. It was great.
Yeah, I don't think Marvel Rivals is quite reaching or maintaining the same status that Overwatch did in its heyday, but it does seem to, like, have landed in kind of a stable place, at least.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's hard to tell how much of it is also, like, people's general, like, moving on from the quote-unquote hero shooter as a sort of genre moment in video games as well.
Yeah.
Part of that, too, is I think it's something that's a lot harder to do in the indie space that is kind of the big upswing right now. Because I think it requires so much artistic investment that is still well outside of anything that even the top AI bros believe is possible with AI.
Yeah, I know. They should re-release Concord, but, like, made with AI so that it's good this time.
Wait, it wasn't already?
I don't know. I think how many people even were allowed to play the video game Concord? Didn't they only let you play it for, like, 2 weeks?
Yeah. I like how physical copies for that game sealed went from, like, retail price to, like, triple retail price, and then back down to, like, a quarter of retail price in the span of a month.
That was my moments that I remember the most.
Those are some great memories from everybody.
But
now it's time to remember something a little more recent, which is video games that we've been playing in recent times. Anna, I think you've got the most to catch us up on.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
Because, as we know, recent times is just however long it's been since you were last on the podcast.
It's been a minute. I have been playing a lot of Dreamlight Valley. I played super a lot of it, like, at the beginning of fall. Played a lot of House Flipper 2. I had a stint of playing Skyrim again in spring. Played a lot of Manor Lords at the beginning of the year, and then I started playing up again, like, very recently, like, within the last few days. I played The Root Trees Are Dead this year, and it was very good. I think I already said that, though. I'm looking down my Steam replay. I played Moonlighter for the first time. I've had it forever, but I finally played it on my Switch, and I had a great time playing it. Again, I played a little bit of Oblivion Remastered, and I just didn't like it. I got too used to the Skyrim controls that it kind of just was hard for me to play. Played Yakuza 2, Kiwami. Did not finish it, but it's fine. Like I said, some unpacking clones, some cute little games here and there. Town to City came out in early access, and I've discovered this year and the end of last year that I really like city builder games. So I was playing a little bit of that.
I feel like there's a lot of overlap in City Builder and The Sims likes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a similar, like, obviously you lose, like, the kind of emergent narrative a bit, like the interpersonal emergent narrative, which is kind of like the bread and butter of The Sims.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you still have a little bit of emergent narrative on the level, and, like, the kind of, like, manufacturing, like, having this really loosely controllable system, and you have these, like, kind of slow but, like indirect ways of kind of controlling, like, the different ways that things happen. I feel like there's a similar, like, fundamental loop when you break it down into, like, the interactions and the resulting numbers that go into the video game.
Yeah. I love watching number go up when it's good.
Yeah,
things.
Number go up is, I mean,
that's,
I think,
my favorite game.
I think it's hard to be a hashtag gamer
and not
if
love.
You do not have some kind of enjoyment of number go up. I think the difference between a video game, a person with an unhealthy relationship with video games, which may include us sometimes, and a person with a unhealthy relationship with a casino is that we can't stand we can't stand number go down even a little bit. Number must always go up.
Number has to go
up. Doesn't matter what their number represents. Number must always go up.
Number must go up unless
it's something bad. In a casino, number goes down most of the time and sometimes goes up.
But in video game, sometimes it go up more. But in
video games, number always go up.
another game
go up and you jump up.
Has been in early development for a while is News Tower, which is a little sim game where you are running a newspaper starting in, I think, 1930, but I can't remember if it's 1930 or maybe a little before that. But yeah, it finally came out fully, and I unfortunately just didn't have the patience for it when it did finally fully come out, but I hope to play it a little more this year. I played a game that Cam got me called Nine Kings. That's one of those games where you get...
There's only four kings.
No, there are nine in this game. But it's one of those games where you get cards and you put them in certain places and you have to level up your... I don't know, I'm trying to think. Like a tower protect...
Is it like a deck builder kind of game?
It's a deck builder kind of game with protect the castle type goal.
Oh, it's like a deck builder tower defense.
Thank you. Yes.
I know all the magic video game words that correspond to the things that people think about video games.
You have to defend your castle and you get different units or different power-ups depending on who you fought. Like who you last like fought, whoever's army came to attack you most recently. And Cam's played it more than me at this point, I believe, this game that he has bought me for Christmas. But it's very fun, and it is still in early access, so it is a little broken. And I keep getting summoned for him to go, hey, look, I broke the game. But that's my recent playing. I'm sure I've missed a few things here and there, but over the past however long it's been since I was last here, that's what's been going on. Love number go up.
Inspiring. So who else has had a number go up experience they'd like to talk about?
Well, my number of my Nintendo Switch went up. It is now a Nintendo Switch 2.
Ooh. Number go up very slowly.
Yeah, it only took it, what, 8 years?
Something like
that.
Yeah, eight years. Yeah, but I got a Switch 2 for Christmas. I've got a good amount of games for it. I already had some of the games because I get a discount at the store. And so when I'm just trading some stuff I don't play anymore, I'm like, oh, I get trading boosts. And I got like the Mario Galaxy collection for like $12.
Dang.
So yeah, been doing that. But what I've been playing mostly on it, I played Mario Party already on it, so that was fun. And that was fun. Played that with family on Christmas. Everyone had a blast. Glad they improved the games. But I've been playing a lot of Metroid Prime 4. And
wait, did Metroid Prime 4 come out?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
All I remember is there was a guy. Okay, this is my experience. There was a guy in one of the trailers. I didn't actually watch the trailer, but I saw a lot of, you know, on my YouTube page home feed. It's like, oh no, the guy. And everyone's like, oh man, not the guy. Not this guy. I don't know if it was a guy, an old guy, who they were upset he was coming back, or they met him and there's like, no, I don't like this guy.
This is the best and worst description I've ever heard. But
so that was the last I heard of Metroid Prime 4.
Guy. Guy.
Not the guy. Oh, it's the guy. No. Why did they put the guy in the video game? I don't understand. I was like, how bad is this guy?
Get men out of video games.
Who put this man in my Samus Aran video game?
Well, what I really want to know is who was the person who decided to make a Samus Aran game bad?
Oh, no.
No.
Or at least bad for a Metroid game. So it's like a 6. in terms of video game.
This
like,
must be why no one was talking about it.
Yeah.
Because people wait. That sucks. Because people were waiting for this game for so long.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. One of them being me. But
is this a most disappointing game of 2025 contender then?
I would say so, at least for me, because it's not really a Metroid game in terms of level design and everything, because first and foremost, the game is very linear. It's like it's linear in terms of like how Ocarina of Time is linear, where you have a big open world where you can do technically whatever you want. However, there's nothing to do in the open world besides collect stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the four corners of the map for all the dungeons and everything. And you have to do them in a specific order. But the way they hold your hand through it is through the guy that you also love so much. His character's name is Miles, and he is basically this game's version of Navi, where he does not shut up. Any chance he gets to talk to you, he will. And he'll basically say, like, in the very beginning of the game, it's like he basically solves a puzzle for you if you walk around too much. Which goes completely against everything what Metroid games do, where you're basically by yourself the whole time and you figure stuff out as you go along. And that goes against it when you have a character talking in your ear the whole time, like saying, hey, have you checked out this place yet? Have you backtracked to here yet? Have you done this? Have you opened that door yet? And it's like, no. And there's no option to turn him off.
And it feels like in the fiction, you could have that pretty easily, right? Yeah. Like, the bounty hunter turning off the talkative guy in their ear and taking matters into their own hands. And then you have, I feel like, a funny emergent moment where, like, the, you know, no-nonsense bounty hunter could do it themselves, and then they get stuck, and they're like, oh. And then they'll, you know, they turn on their, you know, tap their ear, turn on the thing, and the guy's like, where have you been? I haven't been able to talk to you. Are you okay? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then it's like, I need help. It's like, well, okay, well, if you do this, 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 and this. Like, I feel like that would actually be kind of a funny moment to have in your video game.
Yeah, it would be. Too bad it's not.
But does Miles get better after he becomes Spider-Man?
Yeah, no, you're thinking of Blue. You're thinking of Miles Morales. This is Miles Morale. Less.
Miles, the guy that everyone hates.
You're just saying wisecracking Miles guy. That sounds like Spider-Man.
Here's the thing. Like Miles.
Spider-Man.
Well, here's the thing. Spider-Man Morales is actually funny.
Maybe you should have played the European localization where his name was Kilometers.
Shut up. I hate it here. I'm leaving.
This is why Anna's only here once a year.
My God.
But yeah, no, I'm very disappointed with it. And when I keep saying the open world, it's a desert. There's nothing to do except ride on your motorcycle. There is nothing to do in the desert except like run over crystals that give you like okay power-ups. But there's so many of them. And yeah, all the dungeons are like linear hallways that like have a couple shortcuts. Also, there's a point where in the game where it tells you to go to the second dungeon, which is the fire level, only for you to walk in through a few rooms, and then the game says, oh, you can't go here yet, go to the ice world first, and then you go all the way to the other side of the map for the ice world. That takes you at least what, 30 minutes to get there when you're riding around your motorcycle from one side of the map to the other. It's insane. It's like you don't even do anything. You get like one thing from the fire temple. Temple. Yes, it's a Zelda game now. And then, but no, actually level 2 is the ice one. Sorry, we wasted your time. And then it tells you multiple times throughout the games to like backtrack to other dungeons. To like, hey, we think you missed some stuff in there. It's like, yes, I know. I marked them all on the map using your system. It's so bizarre. And I don't know, and they make you start the game on normal difficulty by default. You have to unlock the hard difficulty later. And I hope to God the hard difficulty actually has the guys like stop talking to you at the very least, like not hold your hand. Because if they weren't like talking to you the whole time, the game would still not feel like a Metroid game because it's so linear. But at least it would just be like an okay sci-fi shooter.
So what I'm hearing is that everyone was wrong that one time people said Nintendo won E3 by announcing Metroid Prime 4.
It looks good. It's a very pretty looking game, but there's like barely any puzzles, barely any exploration. Like there may be a handful of times where I was looking in the room, I was like, oh, is there a puzzle in here? Like maybe twice.
Oh.
Well, for a retrospective, like in the original Metroid Prime, which I played fairly recently, you were doing that constantly. Like, in every room, it's like, there's a puzzle in here. I know it. I could feel it. And then when you figure it out, it's like, boom, there was. And then you go on YouTube and realize, oh, there was actually 5 puzzles in there. <I'm> like, what? Yeah.
I love blueprints.
Speaking of video games that you like, Blue, did you like any video games that you've played in recent times?
Oh, I did. So immediately after the last podcast episode, I finished Outer Wilds, the main story, at least, and then I started the DLC. I finished Six Legends. That was a surprisingly good little visual novel-esque game that doesn't look great, but it is a labor of love. You can tell by playing it. It's good. I started Eternal Strands. That's the one that's like a bunch of magic mixed with Shadow of the Colossus, and I'm enjoying that. I started Marvel Cosmic Invasion. It's a little beat-em-up. It's got like a leveling system and unlocks, so it's not just a beat-em-up, but it is... It's alright. I've never been, like, the biggest fan of beat-em-ups, and it is... You get to play as 2 characters per stage, and I think you have 4-player co-op, so you have, like, potentially 8 characters on stage, and they all play very differently, so that is good. I started Hades 2. That's really good. It's Hades? Also. I played... Horses, the big kerfuffle band from Steam horror game.
Okay. I was like, is this an Uma Musume joke or
no? It's a horror game that got banned from Steam.
Right. I remember this. And it was like a little messed up, but on like pretty tame.
It's pretty good. It's like an 8 out of 10. It does some interesting things. It definitely was not worth banning. Like, you have games like all the entire Outlast series and Fear and Hunger on Steam. So, like, even, I know I played like a somewhat censored version that was trying to get it onto Steam, but even taking the original into account, it wasn't really worth all that hullabaloo. But it is a good game. If people want something like as dark as Outlast, but more like done more tasteful, like art house film, some people find it gratuitous, but I think it hits exactly what it needs to, and it's got things to, it's got a message, it's got themes, it gives you stuff to chew on. It's good. I really liked it. It does some really cool things in different areas that I wasn't expecting. It does a really cool thing with sound. Yeah, if people are into really upsetting games, that's a pretty good one. Recommend.
You like being those upset? Those are the
games I've been playing.
I don't like being upset.
Well, you should. Yeah,
I don't recommend it for you, Joe. That I don't. Not at all. But it
well,
was
now wait
good.
A minute.
Wait.
Now wait a minute. Now I'm feeling condescended to.
Well, you can choose to feel that way if you want.
That only heightens my feeling of condescension.
You should play the game that's upsetting.
If you want.
The game that makes you sad.
Will regret
I'm
it.
I'm not going to play it, but I resent being told not to. That's where I'm at.
If you play it, you like... will regret it. You specifically.
No, I but got it is I read a good the spoilers. Game. I read the spoilers because I saw a thread about it at some point. Sometime. I did not play much in video games. I was kind of I fiddled around with Pokemon Showdown because in the Legends Z-A they added new Mega Pokemon, and they've put in the new Mega Pokemon like have stats, but they don't have abilities yet, it seems like. Like in Legends ZA, I guess abilities aren't really a thing. Or maybe they interact differently. I haven't really looked into it. But it just means that everybody's kind of guessing what the abilities are. And so someone went on Pokemon Showdown and like put in the Mega Pokemon with the new stats and then just kind of guessed on the abilities. I was like, you know, I don't want to... Like, the whole thing about doing it is like knowing what the actual interactions are going to be. And so I ended up not doing that. And that's the closest I got to... I did do a couple rounds, but that's the closest I got to doing something interesting with video games.
Are you excited for Pokemon Champions?
I am excited for it, but we just don't really have that much information. So it's kind of just like a tempered excitement, because it really depends on what it's going to be. And there could definitely be ways that it goes that's just like, oh, well, okay. So... It really just depends.
It seems like it's going to be some attempt at official Showdown.
Right. And so, like, if that means that it is in direct competition with Pokemon Showdown, that could be quite dangerous, actually. So, that is a nagging concern. But, like, if it can fix the main problems with competitive Pokemon, which is that, like, a lot of the time you need to buy multiple copies of games... Or buy all the DLC and like either that or like know someone who's willing to do that. And there's all these like one-off things that are like you can only get one per copy of a game, but then they become like the most important thing in the actual competitive. So like if they can pull it off in a way that satisfies like that need while also adhering to whatever weird internal code of practice they have on like you have to work for it to be valuable, right? Like so that you can't just transfer a million. I don't know. I feel like they're going to try to do something to prevent you from just transferring like a million legendaries into your regular video games, like mainline games. So I don't know. It just, there's a lot that it depends. Like I think the way that it makes sense for them to make this video game would be very good, but that doesn't mean that that's how they're going to make it.
Yeah.
So I have some trepidation there. So we'll see when it comes out. It's also going to be like an iPhone app, which is, feels weird.
That is weird.
I don't know if that's going to be healthy for me. If I had Pokemon Showdown on my phone, it might not be good.
But didn't you play Pokemon Go on your phone?
Yes,
you guys
but...
have phones, don't you?
You guys have phones?
Don't.
I don't think we had a "you guys have phones" moment this year. We've had a couple of "you guys have phones." There was like the Xbox and the submarine. That was one. I don't think we had something like that this year, did we?
I feel like there was one, but it was, I can't remember what it was. But I doubt anything will ever be "you guys have phones" for me, because that was... very special.
That's definitely... Oh, no, okay. I can remember a couple other ones. One was the, like, here's how you trade your games, hand the game.
I mean, yeah, that's a slightly different genre, but it is very good.
It's just, like, it's a response to, like, the thing, but it is, like, the moment that encapsulates that.
That was special.
It'd be a fun question for the studio audience. If you could remember a moment like that from 2025, or what were your favorite moments from 2025? What are you looking forward to the most in 2026? This is a podcast tailor-made for user engagement, I think. So please engage with the content. Here is a call to action.
What are you looking
call
forward
to?
What did you play? What's games in your life? Explain.
What's games in
five
your life
paragraphs.
Indeed, Blue Rider?
Please.
It will account for half of your social media grade.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're starting the new semester. Look, I saw some of your finals from the
middle
of the semester. Yeah, so you guys are really going to need to get your engagement. I don't like this bit. This bit feels mean. It's fine when I'm giving Anna or John or Blue bad grades, but I want to give the listeners bad grades.
You're well, then great they better listeners. Earn good grades.
Hey, listener, you're doing great.
That's up to them.
You're doing great. Positive reinforcement. That's the teaching
Unless
style.
Unless you're on the podcast.
Yes. Speaking of, if you liked what you heard, please check us out on our actual internet website, gamecola.net, where you've got all the podcast articles and you've got a few other articles there. You can also check us out on YouTube, gc.net, the letter G, the letter C, the word dot, the word net. We've got playthroughs there. And also podcast episodes if you prefer to listen to it in that way. And what else we got? We got Discord, which you can find in the YouTube description or on the GameCola.net website. You can find a link to that. Join us. Be a part of the conversation. It's the thing that we always say, though I don't... Is that like a Discord thing? Where do we get that? It's definitely a Jettyism. But I don't know where he got it from.
Just Jetty things.
You can email us at podcast@gamecola.net, and when Jetty is on the podcast, we may read those emails. But he has the account, so I cannot read them. I'm on Blue Sky, Joseph.Martin, Blue Sky. I'm the only Joseph.Martin that there is, and it's very impressive, and I feel very good about that.
I'm also on Blue Sky, but I think it's Stella Rose 412. I believe that's it. I post there sometimes. My most recent post was about reading a book that made me scream. It was great.
In a good read books. Way or a bad way?
In a way.
We should start a book club. Yay!
The book was also very gay, and I went, yes!
That happens.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Game Cola Podcast. Have a wonderful time of day, wherever it is, whenever it is you are listening to this podcast, and we will see you next month. Goodbye!
Bye.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Happy 2026.